and we are co-heirs with Christ. Being co-heirs with Christ means that just like Jesus, we get to share in everything that God promises. You are not second best. You are not on the outside. You have real identity here. There is true value and an opportunity to participate in what God is doing. Happy Mother's Day again. From one mother to all of you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rach, and I am on the ministry team here at York Street. And being Mother's Day, I spoke last year on Mother's Day, I feel like they just sort of mic me up and they give me a go, which is so kind. But it's such an honour. It is such an honour to be able to... this is something that I don't hold lightly. It's such an honour to be able to share the Word of God with you all this morning. And I just really pray that this is a word that really, really sinks in to your hearts, and that, God has got such a message for all of us in this. And I really appreciate the way Ethan presented the fact that this can be a really hard day. And I shared last year that I've stood in this place in many different postures on Mother's Day, ones of great sorrow and ones of great joy, through all the different things. So it can be a really beautiful day, but yes, it can be a hard day. And we want to acknowledge that. We don't want to rush past that. And we want you to know that there is space for that. So please take that. It's okay. But at the same time, we just do really want to thank all of the mums and all of the incredible women in our church. I have definitely had so many amazing, strong women come beside me and mentor me and encourage me along. And I'm just so grateful for it. So thank you all so very much. But today's message isn't actually just for mums. Today's message is for everyone. Because there is one thing that determines everything in our lives. Every decision we make, every word we speak, and even the thoughts that we think. And it all really comes down to our identity. And if we look at the world around us right now, it's clear that we are in the middle of an identity crisis. You don't have to look far to see it. This world is crying out, who am I and where do I belong? So the question for us is today, where does your identity lie? Are you living from your identity or are you striving to find it? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this word that you have for this wonderful church, Lord God. I pray, Father God, simply that I can get out of the way so that you can come and do your thing, Lord God, that I die in this moment so that you will live, Father, that you will speak your word through me, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come and just guide this, take this from here on, Lord God. I pray for every heart here, Father, that everybody will leave this place knowing that they are a child of God, that their identity comes from you and you alone, Lord God. Soften our hearts and minister to us, Father, because you have so much more for us, so much more than this world could offer, Father God. We thank you and we praise you for this time, and we thank you so much for the incredible mothers and all the incredible women in this church family. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen. So when I was 18 to 19 years old, I was in a band with two really amazing singers. And to this day, one girl in particular is one of my favourite singers to see perform. She is phenomenal. And she's just effortlessly amazing. But in the time that I was in this band, I got stuck in this comparison trap. She was simply better than me. And no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't be like her. And it honestly got to this point where when people would compliment her voice, it would actually hurt me. I was so jealous and so insecure that I actually stopped singing. I gave up for almost a whole year. And that obviously stopped, right? But the moment that changed everything for me is one that I will never forget. I was driving along and I was listening to worship music, and there was something in me, like my voice just had to sing. And so I just like gave out a little holler. And it was like nothing I'd ever heard come out of me before. It was my true voice. It was the one that God gave me for His glory. And the lesson in all of this is that I needed to trust what He had placed in me. That He could do amazing things with that voice that He had placed in me. That I was called to be Rachel. Nothing else. Not someone else, just me. And I had a choice to either be faithful with what He gave me, to be my authentic, unique self, or I could just shut it all away. One of my favorite preachers, Holly Wagner, has written some amazing books. And in one of her books, Warrior Chicks, she writes, "Each of us is irreplaceable, one of a kind, priceless. And sometimes I wonder if it isn't like a slap in God's face when we refuse who He made us to be and want something else." We are not called to look to the left or the right. We are not called to comparison. We're called to look forward, to keep our focus on Jesus. And the moment that we stop scrolling, stop looking at others, and start focusing in on Jesus is when we can step into something glorious, step into things that we never thought possible. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. You saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Now, a lot of us know this one, but do we know this one? Do we really know this one? Just stop for a moment and listen again. For God created your inmost being. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And we praise Him because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. His works are wonderful. And we know that full well. Your frame was not hidden from Him when you were made in the secret place, when you were woven together in the depths of the earth. He saw your unformed body, and all the days of your life are written in His book before one of them has ever come to be. How precious are His thoughts? How vast is the sum of them? And if we were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. The God of the universe created you. And He knows you from the inside out. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He put fingernails on the end of your fingers and eyelashes on your eyes. He knows you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So let's unpack that. What does it mean to be fearfully made? This isn't the same context as being afraid. It is like a reverence, a deep emotional respect, or an adoration. And why? Because God made you. He put that much effort into you. You were created with intention, with care and significance. There is nothing random or accidental about you, your personality, your gifts, or even your story. And you are wonderfully made. You are uniquely crafted. You are not mass-produced. You're not a copy of someone else. The things that make you, you, your strengths, your quirks, and your passions are part of how God designed you. And comparison starts to lose its power when you realize that you weren't meant to be anyone else. You were made to be you. Nothing more, and certainly nothing less. God hasn't called us to copy each other. He called us as individuals. And when we read in the Old Testament about the battle between the shepherd boy David and the giant Goliath, we read that David refused to wear Saul's armor when he went out to face Goliath. It probably looked foolish. I mean, who walks into battle without protection? But David understood something powerful. If he tried to fight like someone else, he would lose what God had uniquely placed in him. The armor didn't fit because it wasn't his calling. Instead, he stepped forward as himself with a sling and a stone and a great faith in God. And that's exactly where the victory was found. If he had relied on Saul's way, the outcome would have been completely different and God's power wouldn't have been revealed. The truth is, God didn't call David to be Saul, and he hasn't called you to be anyone else either. When we try and copy others, we end up stepping outside of the strength that God has given us. But when we embrace who he has created us to be with our gifts, our stories, and our voices, that's exactly where his glory shines most clearly. You are fully known and valued. It also says in Psalm 139 that God knows your thoughts, your struggles, your highs, and your lows. And yet, the conclusion isn't rejection, it's care. Your worth isn't based on performance, popularity, or perfection. You are fully known. Every failure, every flaw, and yet you are valued and you are loved regardless of it all. And why? Because you are not just known by God. You belong to him. You are a child of God. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." And it also says in Romans 8, verses 15 through to 17, that the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit that you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. See, when we choose to say yes to following God, we are actually brought into his family. A fully loved son and daughter. You belong. You are wanted. And you can come freely, not out of fear, but out of love. And we are co-heirs with Christ. Being co-heirs with Christ means that just like Jesus, we get to share in everything that God promises. You are not second best. You are not on the outside. You have real identity here. There is true value and an opportunity to participate in what God is doing. And as we keep this in mind, I want to bring us over to Matthew 3, verse 17, where Jesus has just come to John the Baptist to be baptized. This marks the beginning of his public ministry. But up until this moment, Jesus hasn't performed any miracles and he hasn't done any formal ministry. He comes up out of the waters of baptism and we see the Holy Spirit ascend on him in the form of a dove and a voice from heaven that says, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." When God speaks these words, "This is my son, with whom I love, with him I am well pleased," It shows that his pleasure isn't based on performance, but on relationship and identity. Jesus was already fully loved and accepted simply as son. And because we are brought into God's family and we share in that identity, it points the same truth for us. God's delight in us isn't earned by what we do, but it is rooted in who we are in him. Obedience and good works still matter, but they flow from being loved, not for being loved. It's not do more to be accepted, it's you are accepted. So live from that place in obedience. At your core, you are a child of God. You are loved. You are known. You are created on purpose, for a purpose. And you were made for such a time as this. You are his daughter. You are his son. You are beloved. You are deeply and unconditionally loved. And I know that for some of us, this can sound a bit fluffy, a bit too nice, or too good to be true even, but this is not a feel-good statement. This is the foundation of your very identity. When you are rooted in the unchanging love of God, everything changes. You don't have to strive to prove yourself. You don't have to perform for that approval. You are already his. So when life presses in, when it hurts, when things don't go to plan, when you're exhausted and you feel like you're falling short time and time again, ask yourself, am I living for identity or am I living from it? There is a choice here, and it is up to you to take that step. When I was pregnant with my daughter Macy, my son Leo was 2 years old. So I had a toddler, constant morning sickness, the most relentless heartburn and exhaustion. Like, I'd never been so tired in all my life. And I lived for Leo's nap time. Some days I would be counting down the minutes. The house could have been a total mess. It could have been on fire for all I cared. The minute he was asleep, I went to bed. But one day he just didn't settle. And I tried everything. I became frustrated, overwhelmed, and eventually I was just done. I was completely at the end of myself. And I remember sitting on the floor beside his bed and I just bawled my eyes out. I felt like I was failing. I felt so angry at this little boy who just wanted to be with his mum, and I don't blame him. I'm a hoot. But I did feel so guilty about being so angry at this little boy, and I had zero patience left in that moment. So I was just sitting there on the floor crying, and I don't know how long I was there for, but something shifted. It's like God gave me this little push. Just get up. And so I knelt beside Leo's bed and I prayed. And I poured everything out to God. The exhaustion, the frustration, the defeat. And I invited Jesus into that moment. And guess what? By the time I said amen, Leo was asleep. But so much more than that. Something in me had shifted. It was not time for me to rest. It was time for me to rise. So I got up and I got some cooking oil from the kitchen and I anointed every doorway in our home. I prayed over every room and I invited the Holy Spirit into that space, declaring, Jesus lives here. Jesus has authority here. And here's the truth. It had been a very, very hard, very complicated season. And I had been doing it all on my own strength, all on my own. And I didn't ask for help, and I'd gotten so caught up in it all that I hadn't even asked God in. It had been such a long time in that season since I had allowed God into that day-to-day life. And I'm sure that we can all relate to this in our own way. When we try to do life in our own strength, when we get so distracted by what's going on around us that we forget to ask God in, and maybe we do manage for a while, maybe we do get through the day, but there is just something that is not right about us trying to do it on our own. And we always end up exhausted at some point. We read in John 15, 4 to 5, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from him, I can do no thing. A branch that is no longer connected to the tree cannot bear fruit. Apart from him, we are not living in the fullness that we were created for. We have to come back to him, surrender again, and make that claim that Jesus lives here. Jesus has authority here. And I so often get this image of Jesus with his hand stretched out, just waiting for us to take it, not forcing us, not rushing us, but inviting us. Will you let me lead? Romans 8, 5 to 6 says that those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. We can live for the flesh and it leads to death, or we can live by the Spirit where there is life and peace. And it becomes like the lens in which we look through. Do we see life the way the world tells us to see it? Or do we see life the way the Creator of it tells us to see it? And even then, even when we choose God, even when we live in the Spirit, that doesn't mean that things are going to be easy all the time. Hard things will come whether we are walking with Jesus or not. But I would much rather walk through those things with him than try and do them in my own strength. I've tried that. And I can tell you that I suck at being God. He is so much better at it than I am. God doesn't call us to comfortable things. And when we read scripture, we see again and again that it's not just the hard things that people walked through. It was the impossible things. And we can't face those impossible things without the God who makes all things possible. Without the God who walked on water, without the God who flung stars into space, without the God who defeated death so that we could know him. Romans 5, 6 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." We were powerless to do this on our own. We simply need Jesus. And I didn't realize that the love of God was all that I needed until it was all that I had. And I will never deny his faithfulness. Because when I had nothing, he was my everything. And the same is true for you. Every single one of us has been hurt, yeah? And Liam said last week, the enemy wants you to interpret your suffering as the absence of God, when in reality, it may be the place of his deepest work. I have experienced great pain, and I have also been one who has hurt others. But it was in those places of pain and failure that I encountered the fullness of God's love. a love that is complete, a love that is whole. And that is what takes us to the cross. In Matthew 27:46, when Jesus is on the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Pastor Tim shared this in a staff devotional a few weeks ago, where Jesus was actually quoting Psalm 22. And in that moment, he had stepped fully into the human experience, even experiencing what it felt like to be separated from the Father. But here's the truth that we need to hold on to. That was the last time that those words will ever need to be spoken. Because through Jesus, the price was paid once and for all. It is finished. No more separation. No more distance between us and the Father. And the truth has to be written on our hearts. It has to be written on our hearts because that is our true identity. It defines our identity. Through Jesus, we're no longer separated from God. We don't stand defeated. We stand in the victory of Christ. Every day is a choice to come back to Him, to let Him lead, to declare Jesus lives here. Jesus has authority here. Pastor Jean Apple says that if there were 1,000 steps between you and God, Jesus took 999 of them. And all that's left is for you to take the last one. So will you take the hand of Jesus? Step into the identity that only He can give you. Don't give up on the one who has never given up on you. Because you are a child of God, and that is your true identity. Now today, we're going to do worship a little bit different for our last song. We are blessed to have Lucy, who is going to do a dance. This is a time of worship, and this is a time of reflection. So my prayer is that you will listen to the words, that you will be moved by this, and that God will do a work in you.
Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed today's service. And if you are looking for any resources to continue to connect in, you can find them on the links below or on our website. We'd love to see you in the building sometime at one of our future services. And remember, no matter what happens this week, keep coming back.